Hey, welcome to the Eddie Hyatt podcast. I'm so glad you've joined me again today as we continue our series on five biblical reasons for supporting the state of Israel. As you know, there is a spirit of anti-Semitism, anti-Israel that seems to be arising all over the world. And here in America, many protest on especially university and college campuses, and even during college and university graduations. And so I am aware that even some evangelical Christians are not supportive of the state of Israel. And so I want to give you biblical reasons why we should be supporting the state of Israel. There are natural reasons, which I mentioned yesterday, and be sure and go back and listen to yesterday's because I talked about Jesus and his attitude towards Israel points us the way of what our attitude should be. But, you know, natural reasons such as Israel, the modern state of Israel, by the way, this is May the 14th, which happens to be my birthday, 77 years old today. Hallelujah. And I believe my best and most effective, prosperous days in the work of the Lord are still in front of me. But I was born on May 14th, 1947. The modern state of Israel was born on May the 14th, 1948. And it is the only democracy in the Middle East. It has been and is the only real ally of the United States in the Middle East. It is the only state, nation in the Middle East where there is freedom, individual liberty and freedom. I'm not saying they're perfect. We live in a fallen world, but there is a freedom. And as I mentioned last week, there are Arabs in the Israeli Knesset, which is the counterpart to our Congress. And so there are all kinds of natural reasons for supporting Israel, but I want to focus on the biblical ones. And last week we talked about Jesus. Today I'm going to talk about Paul. And Paul actually wrote most of the books of the New Testament. And I think of the 27 books of the New Testament, Paul wrote 13, I believe. And so he wrote almost half of the books of the New Testament. Now, as far as volume, I don't think his letters would take up half, but as far as the number of books of the New Testament, he wrote almost half of them, 13 out of 27. But I want to look at what Paul says about the Jews of his day, about the Israeli nation, which for the most part rejected him. Now, we're not talking about all individual Jews. We're talking about Israel as a collective people, as a nation. And in Romans chapter 9, there is no 19. Romans chapter 9, beginning at verse 1, he says, I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. So he's about to say something that just seems so far out that he feels necessary to emphasize up front that I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying. He says that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh. Wow. Who's his countrymen according to the flesh? Well, that's the Jewish people. Paul was Jewish. He was called to be the apostles to the Gentiles to take the gospel message, which had taken place in a Jewish-Israeli milieu and culture. And so he was to take that message and interpret it and preach it, make it applicable to different nations and Gentile cultures. But then he says here, he says, I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ. What Paul is saying is really deep and heavy. He said, I have such great sorrow and continual grief in my heart that if it would bring my countrymen, my brethren, he calls them according to the flesh, If it would bring them to Christ, I would be willing to be accursed from Christ. That seems clearly what he is saying. Paul is saying, I'd be willing to give up my life and my salvation if it would mean my brethren according to the flesh, if it wouldn't mean the Jews and Israel coming to Christ. He says, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. What's he talking about? Well, he's talking about it was this nation that God chose, beginning with Abraham. When God looked down and there was this human race that he had created, beginning with Adam and Eve, but the human race had turned from him. It was a rebellious race. It was a sinful race that deserved eternal banishment from God. But God did not want to eternally banish the whole human race. And so he had a plan. It wasn't a plan come lately that that he put together after Adam and Eve sinned. No, God is omniscient, all-knowing. And the Bible speaks of Jesus, I think it's in the book of Revelation, being the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So God had it all planned. He knew that the human beings he would create, he knew that Adam and Eve, our first parents, would turn from him and would fall and drag their posterity down with them. And that our very natures would be affected and corrupted with sin and rebellion against God. But even before he began creating, he already had it planned out that he would come, that he would take on human form, and he would redeem all. How greatly God values you and I. What an incredible God we serve. And so he appeared to Abraham, made a covenant with him and his descendants, and that he would bless them. And then he made promises about a coming king, a coming Messiah, a coming deliverer. And we read in these promises that he's not just for Israel, but he's going to be for the Gentiles and for the world. We read this in the Old Testament. And so this is what Paul is talking about. These are the ones that God raised up and he used, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God. He's talking about the tabernacle, the temple, the priesthood, and all these, this Old Testament way of life and religion of the Jewish people that was leading up, its goal was leading up to the coming of the Messiah. He said, these are the ones that God raised up and used in all of these ways to bring forth the Messiah. And now they have turned from him. And he says, I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart because of this. And I'd be willing to be accursed myself from Christ if it would result in them coming to Christ. In chapter 11, verse 28 of Romans, by the way, if you want to read Paul's attitude towards Israel and their status, being in a place of rejection of the Messiah, their Messiah, because he came first to them, read Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11. Verse 28 of 11, he says, concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. In other words, they were opposing as a nation. Now, many individual Jews had come to Jesus as the Messiah, but as a nation, the authorities had rejected him. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but concerning the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. And so Paul also, when he preached throughout the Gentile world, he would always begin in the synagogue. And he even talked about preaching the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And it wasn't because God loved the Jews more than the Greeks or more than the Gentiles, but they are the ones that should be receiving this. They are the ones who had prophesied of the coming Savior, of the coming Redeemer. They are the ones to whom God had given the promises and the covenants. And so they are the ones who should be receiving them. And so Paul, when in his travels, he'd first go to the Jewish synagogues, and he would show them in the scriptures how that Jesus had fulfilled all those promises. By the way, I have a book called Discovering the Real Jesus that has an entire chapter about how Jesus fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies of the coming Messiah. And so Paul would go into the Jewish synagogues. That's how he would begin. And the Bible says, this is in Acts chapter 17:3, talking about his ministry in the synagogue in Thessalonica, which was a Gentile city. It says that Paul reasoned with them and talked to them and proclaimed to them that this Jesus, whom I preached to you, and he showed them from the scriptures, talking about the Old Testament scriptures, there was no New Testament, that this Jesus, whom I am presenting to you, is the Messiah. Wow. So everything that we know about Paul, there is no way that Paul, if he were living today, there's no way he would be an anti-Israeli. No way whatsoever. And so we can learn from both Jesus and we can learn from Paul that we ought to support the nation of Israel. That doesn't mean that we support every decision they make and everything that they do, but we support their right to exist. We support the Jewish right to a homeland there in the Middle East. And of course, Hamas, in their charter, they have stated their reason for existence is to kill Jews and to destroy the state of Israel. There is no way, I can't see any way, that a true born-again Christian could support Hamas. No way, no way whatsoever. And and it's hard for me to see how a born-again evangelical Christian cannot support Israel in this war that they are in now for their very existence. Well, I'm Eddie Hyatt. This is the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. So glad you joined me today. And I'm going to continue tomorrow with this series on five biblical reasons for supporting Israel. And tomorrow we're going to talk about some very exciting things from the Old Testament, so you don't want to miss it. Check out my website, eddiehyatt.com. And there's a bookstore there, and book Discovering the Real Jesus is a real eye-opener. You might want to check it out along with a lot of others, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. God bless.